Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Ready to pop the question and take advantage of 30% off? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com to get 30% off select lab-grown diamonds. That's BlueNile.com for 30% off lab-grown diamonds. BlueNile.com.
TIZO stands for titanium dioxide and zinc oxide. In other words, their commitment to mineral sun protection is right in the name. TIZO is known for having a unique line of all mineral sunscreens with different textures and finishes that cater to every skin type and tone. Sunscreen application may seem burdensome, but with TIZO, it doesn't have to be. Their sunscreens have been meticulously crafted to seamlessly fit into your daily routine. Whether it is saving a step in the morning with an SPF that doubles as a makeup primer, or giving your skin a glow before running errands, TIZO has you covered. All TIZO sun protection formulas have broad spectrum protection and are 100% free of chemical sunscreens, dyes, parabens, gluten, preservatives, fragrances, and phthalates. Check out TIZO's mineral sunscreens and so much more at TIZOskin.com. That's TIZOskin.com. Shop with code LISTEN10 to receive 10% off your first order.
And welcome to the Tracy Sandler Show, brought to you by Fevo. I am your host, Tracy Sandler, and I am super excited today to welcome my guest, Matt Sims, former NFL quarterback and co-host of the Sims Complete podcast here on the Believe Network. Matt, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Tracy. Honored to be here and to talk football with you.
Well, let's dive right in. And I want to preview Browns 49ers. But first, I'm going to talk about everybody's favorite subject. It used to be you could not have a 49ers podcast without bringing up Jimmy Garoppolo. But now we have finally hit a point where we don't have to do that. But I do want to talk about Brock Purdy, because obviously you played in the NFL. Brock has been incredible for the 49ers. It looks that he is their franchise quarterback, that they found their guy with the final pick in the draft. And it, at this point, to me, it does not, of course, not matter where he was picked. It matters what he's doing. But when we look at how well he's been playing, when we look at him coming off the injury, my guest Monday mentioned that she said, we kind of forget after week two that he is coming off this major injury, and he's been incredible. But as a former NFL quarterback, what are you seeing in Brock Purdy that's really standing out to you?
I think it's something that we see week in and week out in the post-game press conferences, the way that his teammates speak about this young man, his presence, the way that he is authentically himself during the week on game day. What you see on the field there during the game is what the 49ers teammates are seeing each and every day in that facility. So the authenticity of this young man is something to really enjoy and appreciate too, because you do see that love of the game, that genuine childlike love of the game. And I think it just exudes through the TV screen when you're watching him, and his stoicism is unmatched. I mean, even the great Marcus Aurelius would be impressed with this gentleman and how he carries himself. And it's a fun watch, and it's a great lesson for all these young quarterbacks out there too, who want to be like Patrick Mahomes, who want to have his skill sets and all of his raw abilities. But it also shows you too that the quarterback position cannot be defined by one way or another. It is a beautiful position that can be played in a multitude of ways, and Brock Purdy is showing that he is a great example of that.
Football is back, and BetOnline is your number one information source for all your sports wagering info, with all the up-to-the-minute stats, news, scores, and matchup breakdowns. Get the latest game odds, spreads, and totals from the NFL and college football at your fingertips with BetOnline's real-time updates on statistics, news, and odds. From week one all the way to the college football playoff and the Super Bowl, BetOnline gives you access to the best football promotions and contests available anywhere online. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Remember to use our promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, where the game starts. And I love that you talk about his stoicism, but also the fun love of the game. And that, I think, is part of what makes Brock so good. I think it's actually part of what makes this team so good is that they are locked in when they're on the field. They know what they got to do, but they're having fun. They're playing loose. And one of my favorite things that Brock Purdy does is he does it sometimes in a press conference. He'll do it sometimes in the locker room. But there's a video I posted the other day where he does it, but he gets excited and he's like, let's go. And there is that childlike, let's go. But then also, I'm going to go and throw four touchdown passes and throw an interception over 235 passes. And that's what I'm going to go and do. And then let's go. And I just think it is cool. And it's funny you mentioned the post-game press conferences, because I say this a lot on the podcast that I understand games are not won and lost in press conferences. But to me, one of the most impressive things was after Brock's first game. It wasn't his first start, but it was that Miami game where he played the majority of the game.
Right.
He came into the post-game press conference. He definitely looked like he was coming in between chemistry and English lit in high school. But then he starts talking and he's so poised and so together. And yes, he has to do it on the field, but I think that confidence and maturity is also part of what makes him so good.
Yes, it absolutely is. And to remind all the fans who now are doing more homework on Brock Purdy to find out about this man, how he became this quote unquote overnight success, which we all know is not true. This is a young man that has played a ton of football, a ton of college football experience, great experience, ran, similar plays that he is running in San Francisco to a degree that are very multiple and aggressive and creative. And, it shows that level of maturity of having a franchise or a college program essentially on his shoulders to carry himself a certain way. So that experience, although it being at Iowa State, and we in the football world think Iowa State's a lesser known commodity, which they are in the grand scheme of the business, but he still had a tremendous amount of eyes on him. He still had a tremendous amount of pressure to perform and to do well and to raise the level of his teammates around him up. And I think that's really one of the biggest things as far as his resume that's allowed him to be such a success in the NFL too, that this isn't really new territory for him. And, if anything, now it's even easier because he has, better coaches and better players surrounding him. So it's not all on him like it was at Iowa State.
So let's talk about Sunday's matchup with the Cleveland Browns. This 49ers team, as I mentioned, is playing very fun and loose. They are 5-0. Sunday, quite the dominating performance over the Dallas Cowboys. I'm totally going to pat myself on the back and say I called it. Everyone was like, it's going to be close. And I was like, I'm going to be honest with you, it's not. Yeah. It's really not going to be close. So I'm just going to give because it's my show. So I get a moment to pat myself on the back.
Absolutely, but you can. You have every right to do that, and you should.
Thank you. I appreciate you. Thank you very much. So they're playing a Browns team that's coming off a bye. That's the game before their bye. They lost 28-3 to the Ravens. They have a bunch of stuff going on at quarterback because whether or not Deshaun Watson will play is up in the air. So do they go with the rookie? Do they go with PJ Walker? So that's a whole thing. They, of course, have Myles Garrett, who also is on the injury report this week. So the Browns are kind of like the anti-49ers right now. But if there's a place, I would not, as if I was a 49ers fan, I would not be concerned about this game. But you're coming off such a Sunday night football performance that there was such a thing about on the road, early game. Still don't really think it's going to matter here. But you got to play the game on Sunday. Kind of how do you see this playing out?
You raised some great points. The quarterback position for the Cleveland Browns is absolutely a concern. And it would be a concern even if Deshaun Watson was out there, because we know that he is still laboring that shoulder injury. And anytime you do hurt your shoulder as a quarterback, with the amount of pressure that San Francisco can put on the position on the pocket, that's always going to be something that you need to keep an eye on and be wary of. The other aspect that I find really interesting in this game, and maybe something that, you know, not a lot of people are paying attention to yet, is the fact that this is one coach and Coach Jim Schwartz, the defensive coordinator for the Cleveland Browns, that has, in his history, been one of the few coaches that has given Kyle Shanahan headaches as far as his offense versus Schwartz's defense. And I could speak to that, too, in a very honest way, being on that Atlanta Falcons team with Kyle Shanahan. We played against the Philadelphia Eagles when he was up there. And I could feel the anxiousness in Kyle during the week because he had such a high level of respect for Schwartz and the way that he went about his business. And it showed. That was a very good offense that we had. At the same time, his defense was all over a lot of the things that were working very easily against other opponents we had faced. So the matchup between these two juggernauts on the offensive side of the defensive side, as far as the thought process and the scheme, is really going to be, I think, the funnest part of this game. And then really, can the Cleveland Browns score enough? You know, can they surpass 21 points against San Francisco? Because if they can do that and play solid defense, they might have a chance, but it'll be very tough no matter who the quarterback is. But they might have more of a chance with Deshaun Watson.
That is quite a good nugget that you just shared. Thank you for that. That's about Jim Schwartz. That's really interesting. And the idea that you could feel Kyle's anxiousness. That's really interesting. And I think that does add a little bit of a wrinkle. And that's why, not to get all like NFL preachy, but that's why you do have to play the game. And that's why sometimes, I'm not saying the 49ers are going to lose on Sunday, but sometimes teams lose games they're not meant to lose. And it's because, I think, as you know, we look high level and like, well, this team's so much better than that team, but it's matchups and it's little things like that that make a difference. And when a defensive coordinator has the answers for an offense, that makes a huge difference no matter how much better the other team is.
Yeah, it is. It's one of those things that we only discuss it after the game has happened. And when it's clear and obvious on the football field, and that's okay too. But that's why the NFL is great. That's why it's a week-to-week season, and NFL teams know that. The great thing for the San Francisco 49ers is that I feel like they are so motivated internally as a team.
Yes.
And I think that is really their saving grace right now. They've been so close to reaching the summit of being Super Bowl champions, and this team knows that. And I think the wounds from some of those failures or shortcomings in the past year allow them to move past who the, you know, the enemy is across the field that they're playing, and just making it more so about, can we just focus on ourselves more so than the outside noise or our opponent? And that's a credit to the coaching staff and Kyle, the environment he's built. And then really, you know, to John Lynch and him for finding football players that are absolutely just football junkies.
And that was another reason that I did think they were going to win by so much on Sunday. They were so, and they meant it, you know, yeah, it's a rivalry, but it's another game.
Yeah.
Cowboys are a huge challenge. It's another game. The Cowboys, I think, looked at it very differently. I thought one of the most interesting post-game comments to me was from Dak, who I'm a huge fan of, but said that was a very, like, maybe the most humbling loss of his career. And I thought, well, that's actually problematic. Because then that makes me think they weren't quite prepared or weren't thinking that they were, you know, that the 49ers were as good as they were or had like a inflated sense of self. I don't know how to put it exactly, but that to me was a very telling comment. And you wouldn't hear that from the 49ers.
It's so interesting. It really is. That you're right. That little soundbite says a lot. And I wouldn't take it in a negative term or a negative way for the Dallas Cowboys fan base or even for Dak, the way that he said it. But it does remind you too of you see yourself in a certain light. You see your environment in a certain way as a football player. Let's face it, you know, you think you're indestructible to some degree, no matter what happens, even if there is failures, like, don't worry, I'll get it the next play. But this was one of those situations where they got out coached, they got out physical, and just everything kind of snowballed to the point where they just realized, like, wow, this is an NFL team that is in a whole nother level better than us, in a class of their own. along there with the Philadelphia Eagles. And they need to do some real soul searching. And one thing that I think the Dallas Cowboys need to understand, you can win a lot of football games with the style that you play each and every football week, especially against, you know, the Commanders or the Giants or whoever in the NFC that they'll play against. But when you go against the 49ers, you go against the Philadelphia Eagles, you have to do more creativity to create opportunities for your football team. And they just didn't do that enough in this football game. And think about it from the 49ers perspective and that defense. They see Kyle Shanahan's offense every day at practice. So, you know, that's extremely complicated to defend. And now when you go against these basic standard 101 offenses like the Dallas Cowboys, they're like, oh my God, this is so easy. They don't even move or shift or do this. Like, they run plays that we saw, you know, for the past 8 years in just like football 101 class. This is no problem for us. So these are things that, you know, teams like the Cowboys need to understand when they're playing against the San Francisco 49ers, that they have seen a lot and there is really nothing new under the sun for them.
And you segue into the next thing I want to talk about beautifully.
Great.
Yes, this defense. So thank you for that. Yes, this defense has to go through against Kyle Shanahan's offense. But I think one of the great things for this offense and for Brock Purdy and anyone who's played quarterback for the 49ers is they have to go against this defense.
Yeah.
And especially in training camp, especially. So this 49ers defense probably had its most complete game of the season on Sunday. Obviously, they've played extremely well the first few weeks. But a couple weeks ago, Nick Bosa felt like they hadn't played their best yet. Then against the Cardinals, he thought that was their best game. But I would say this week five performance, just from I was going to say top to bottom, but let's go from secondary to the defensive line. Yeah. Really, I think everyone was at their peak. And if I'm an opposing offense, that's scary. Because if there's one place that there's been a little bit of a knock, and I'm not sure it's even fair, but if there's been a knock because I think people have to nitpick when that defense is so good, it's potentially in the secondary. And a little that is because it looked like in the preseason training camp, maybe Isaiah Oliver wasn't going to be their nickel and they were going to have to move things around, and they experimented with a few things. He's been playing at a pretty high level the last few weeks, and I think they really hit their stride. We saw D'Amador Lenore probably have his best game, and I think he's very talented, very underrated corner in this league. Tre'Varius Ward continued to play well, and Isaiah Oliver is really, other than one play, is the nickel they've been looking for. So this defense, how good are they? And as you watch it, how frightened would you be to be up against them?
it really is. The fact that we're thinking that Hufanga, Gibson Sr., Lenore, Oliver, and Ward are the weakness of this football team is very hilarious to me. It really is.
Because it's nitpicky.
No,
it's very nitpicky.
And we have to, right? That's our job, right? Yeah. We have to at least try to educate our listeners and ourselves as far as what we think are the possibilities of how this team can be exploited. And everyone's like, oh, well, the corners aren't great. You know, if they didn't have that defensive line, well, if Brock didn't have Kyle, Brock wouldn't be as good. There's the line in Layer Cake, a movie that I like. It's so great. There's, you know, a big bad gangster, you know, and he's talking, they're making this deal. And the one gentleman goes, well, you wouldn't be anything if you didn't have him by your side. And the guy goes, well, he does. So what now? And right. That's the case here with the 49ers. You can try to nitpick. This secondary, I think, is very underrated. I think they're extremely talented. They go perfectly along with what the entire scheme is going. They know exactly what's being asked of them each and every football play. They never seem to be out of position or surprised. And that's what you have to be excited about, right, when you watch them, is occasionally, man versus man, the other team might win some of those matchups here and there.
Well, they get paid to.
But, so. Right. They get paid to, and they're allowed to make plays because they're trying their hardest as well. The thing that's exciting when you watch, though, is like there doesn't seem to be any mental errors. There's no lack of communication on the back end at any time. There's no finger pointing of like, why did this person catch the football? You should have been there. You don't see any of that. You know, you see a guy catch the football and you see him go to the ground immediately. And that's what's really cool, too. There are no yards after the catch against this team. And, you know, hey, you could say, well, if they didn't have this or didn't it? Well, they do. So deal with it. and live with it and really honestly just enjoy it because it's really good football.
And that's how you build a football team. Yes, if they didn't have this, they wouldn't be as good, but you build a football team so right. you have it.
Absolutely. So
I never really understand that argument. And who cares if Brock didn't have Kyle and all those weapons? He's got them, but any capital, and he uses them well, and they trust him.
Absolutely. And Tracy, I'm sorry to cut you off because I'm just, you raise a great point and now I'm all excited. So I got to share, you know, what's just popped in my mind. Are we going to see more teams do what the 49ers are doing? As far as let's build a team, let's give a coaching staff and a management more than a year or two to build a football team, to add depth on the offense and defensive lines, to get skilled players around, and then find our quarterback. And that's what I think the 49ers are a great example of. I think it was, you know, in some cases, maybe a little accidental, but at the same time, the team was there. The team was set. If Jimmy Garoppolo didn't get hurt a year ago, he might still be the quarterback of the 49ers. And that's, you know, a fact because he was playing extremely well too. But now with his injury, now Brock gets inserted. And now he really is the perfect piece to this team. And it really is kind of the identity of this team is the same as this quarterback. So will we see more teams have the patience like they've had with Kyle and that coaching staff and John Lynch and build teams in the reverse effect? Instead of getting a superstar quarterback and then building around them, can we build our team first and then implement the quarterback that we need that makes it all go?
Well, and it's kind of interesting because when they traded for Christian McCaffrey, Kyle talked about how when it was the draft and he would have loved to have Christian McCaffrey, but he said we weren't ready. We didn't have the team for Christian McCaffrey. He wouldn't have been able to perform as well because we didn't have the pieces around him. And I kind of thought that was a little bit of an underrated nugget.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of teams would just, and understandably so, Christian McCaffrey is incredible, as we've seen, but would just go get Christian McCaffrey. But they were building a team. They were building a Super Bowl winner. And I think it is a huge credit to them. I think it's a credit to Jed York to be patient,
yes,
to have seen maybe in the past there were things that didn't work and things he did, things that the team did. And I just thought that was kind of an interesting nugget. He's not the quarterback, but to your point, you got to build the team and then you can insert your superstars. And that, I think, makes a huge difference.
And you're only as strong as your weakest link, as that cliche is said. And that cliche is the way that it is because it's true. And it's more true in football than anything. And just highlight what is the weakest link. We tried to highlight the weakest link today with the secondary, but you know, as you really think about it, it's like, well, it's really not that weak. It's actually a pretty good unit. It's just not as strong as maybe we would like to think compared to the rest of the team. But you know, Kyle, you know, from my experience with him, you know, he understands, just like his father did, that the NFL game really is won at the line of scrimmage. To have depth at both sides of the ball at the line of scrimmage, to have fast, tough football players that are smart and willing to execute in crunch time is extremely important. And that's where, you know, a lot of these other teams, I think, miss the boat. I think that's also why a lot of these teams, you know, fail with young quarterbacks too, because there's too much pressure on a young quarterback to win you games week in and week out in the toughest league in the world. And this is where it's the opposite for the 49ers. Brock really just needs to do his job, as they say, right? Just do your job. Mm-hmm. And that's true. You know, just do your job and there will be moments where you can then shine. And he's done that fantastically well. And this is why, you know, I raised that question of whether or not we'll see this, you know, more repeated, because the 49ers, they're always going to be in the race now, year in and year out. Now, is the window closing? Of course, windows are closing, as we say, each and every year for teams. But this is a team that's going to be consistently near the mountaintop each and every year. And if you could just get into the dance, anything can happen.
That is very true. That is very true. As we have learned from March Madness, that is very true.
That's right.
All right, we'll do a prediction for Sunday, and then we're going to talk about something important, and that's Michigan football. So let's do a prediction. What do you think? I mean, should we do a score prediction? I always struggle with these because I'm so bad at them, and so I feel bad making my guests do them.
Right.
But let's just do it anyway. I won't hold you to
it. All right, let's do it.
All right, what do you think?
Oh, okay. You want me to start first? Okay, all right.
Yeah, you're the guest.
Yeah,
totally right.
That's fair. I'll take it. All right, so I'm going to say the offense – like I added earlier, struggles just a little bit. I think Schwartz and this defense will be a little bit more on top of what they're doing at times. I still think that they're going to score anywhere between 24 to 27. So I'm going to say final score is 27 to 13, San Francisco.
All right. And just to make it a little bit different, I'm going to say 31-10 San Francisco.
Okay. And I love that because, you know, this is the thing with San Francisco. If they're up late, they're still going to be running the rock aggressively. And I can absolutely see one of those long runs being broken off at the end there. So I think that's a great call by you.
All right. So now we're going to talk about, so clearly I'm a Michigan alum. I'm sure that that wasn't obvious or anything. And so there's another, in my opinion, juggernaut in the world of football, but in college football. And that is the Michigan Wolverines, who are also undefeated and beating everyone minus Bowling Green, who they still beat by a lot, but struggle with a little bit, beating everyone week after week. They look like, again, in my humble opinion, to me, they look like the best team in college football. There are a lot of good teams out there, so I'm not taking that away. But this team looks really, really good. Not to put pressure on you, but is this the year I get my national championship? We're going to make it mine. It's my national championship. Yeah,
that's right. Move out of the way, Harbaugh. Give me that. Yes, I would say that right now, the Michigan Wolverines are probably the best team in the country. Their resume, you know, unfortunately for the fan bases out there that are opposing you on the other side, would say that you haven't played anybody. And there's some truth to that. But at the same time, we can't really take away from the fact of the way that they've won against the opponents that they've played. And the physical difference, the fact that every team that they've played against, they've just basically worn them out both physically and athletically as the game continues to go on is extremely impressive. And they're one of the few teams that really has lived up to the preseason expectations during the season. You know, the real question will be, I really don't think there's going to be any headaches with the Indiana, Michigan State, Purdue in their next three matchups that they have. You know, it really will come down to those last three games of the year when they have Penn State, Maryland, and Ohio State. I know that they're better than Maryland, but I still think Maryland is a little bit of a They're definitely, you know, an annoying rock in your shoe. You know, they're a pebble in your shoe for sure. So it's really going to be a tough three-game stretch to end the season for them. Ohio State will most likely be their best form of themselves by that time at the end of the year, too. So it'll be very interesting. And again, the Big Ten East, it's just such a one-sided division. It's going to be much more exciting next year when the Big Ten expands and gets away from the divisions.
It's like the Big 18.
Yeah, right.
I already have anxiety about those last three games. They make me so nervous. And this, I mean, this is the thing about being a fan, of course, that I have no control over the games, no matter what t-shirt I wear. And even though I seem to think that makes a difference.
Wearing the socks a certain way, you know, all that stuff. Yep.
my Dodgers proved to me this week, all my teams that I'm fans of wear blue. And my Dodgers proved to me this week that no matter what I wear, if they can't hit the ball, it's not going to make a difference. So
yeah, I'm sorry about that.
That's okay. I didn't have super high expectations for this year anyway, and the pitching staff was so decimated that it somehow this one to me doesn't feel as bad. I know there are a lot of people that think it's the most embarrassing one, but to me, I'm like, I don't know. That doesn't really feel like as bad. But I will say this, and then we get back to Michigan. I do not like this bye in baseball. I don't think it's good for the teams.
No. And it's really not good for viewership either. So I know. It's just like baseball is too long already to begin with. It's definitely something that I feel like the entire league has to kind of think about just a little bit. You know, but that's just me. But I love baseball. I love watching baseball. I love going to games. But even for me, as much love and appreciation I have for the game, I'm still like, damn, it's a long season.
It is a long season. And they used to have the one and done game, which I thought was a very unfair situation.
Yeah.
And I think it was. But that being said, now in retrospect, of course, this is so easy to do in retrospect, but in retrospect, you're better off with the one and done because the teams just keep playing.
Yeah.
And I just think in baseball, when you get that break, it messes with you. And we did see it. So we'll see. It's interesting to see how that plays out. But back to my boys in blue who aren't going to make me sad this year. The Michigan Wolverines. All right. So this weekend, you said Indiana. We have Michigan State, Purdue. The next three games, it's those last three games, which are going to be super, super interesting. I'm going to the Ohio State game. The 49ers play Thursday night football, and then the game's in Ann Arbor. So it's like this confluence of events. I mean, the games, it's funny. Everyone's like, oh, the Niners play in Detroit. I'm like, no, I can see why you think that. No, they play in Seattle, but they're off for the weekend. So I can go to, so I'm very excited about that. But those are the three that make me nervous. But just looking at this team, and then I would love your opinion a little bit. JJ McCarthy, I mean, this is probably the most talented quarterback Harbaugh's had. He's been playing at a really high level. What do you think about this kid?
Yeah, JJ is playing really good football right now. The offense, I think, is actually a pretty standard offense as far as scheme and the way they approach things. But his ability to extend plays with his feet, extend drives with his feet, is extremely impressive and very important for this football team. His off-schedule plays really is the difference as far as what we've seen from Michigan State in the past to this one. And I think this is why this one is unique. This is why I say that, yes, this might be the year that you guys finally, you know, reach the summit, because JJ McCarthy's experience, his athleticism, his ability to extend plays and create chicken salad out of chicken doo-doo is extremely important, especially against good teams. And Roman Wilson is just like an absolute machine in the red zone. It's just crazy how whenever they get in the high red zone area, if you just throw it up to Roman Wilson, there's a high probability that this dude is making a miraculous catch. So the ability to have contested catches, the ability to run the ball at will when you need to with their great running backs and Blake Corum and Donovan Edwards is important. I think that'll continue to improve too, especially with Donovan Edwards as the season goes, with his physicality that he brings to the table. And, you know, JJ's ability to extend plays really is the difference for this team that goes along with just really good defense and great athleticism and depth.
There was a great clip from Harbaugh this week on one of the touchdowns. I think it was to Roman Wilson. And he says how he's yelling, run, run. And JJ goes the other direction, throws, and it's a touchdown. And the way Harbaugh obviously explains it is so Jim Harbaugh and fabulous, and I'm not doing it justice at all. But it's so funny, but it does go to your point of how he can extend plays. And I do think that in a college quarterback, for him to have the confidence to say, yeah, I'm just going to throw the ball and I know it's going to be a touchdown, even though my coach is screaming to run, I think says a lot about him and does give me confidence in some of those tougher games.
Definitely. And this is where, as far as football goes, you got to coach the X's and O's. You have to coach the fundamentals and be disciplined that way. As one coach always told me, that in crunch time, you're going to go back to your fundamentals and what we focus on. So let's make sure that we do them extremely well. But after all that said and done, you know, when the X's and O's are gone, you need the Johnnies and Joes that really make everything go. And this is where JJ McCarthy's done a great job of doing that. He's done a great job of just expanding upon the plays that we typically see from Michigan. He's making them with a little bit more flair. And that's exciting. We don't see that a lot from Michigan. We don't see that from Harbaugh. I mean, Harbaugh himself, I mean, just, you know, the khakis and the sweater just tell you kind of what type of dude he is. You know, he's very simple, you know, and I'm sure he's had the same routine for the past 30 years of his life. And that's great. That's why he's great at what he does. But you also have to be, you know, I'm going to do like a Steve Sable thing. You know, football is art. Football is artistry in motion. And that's why occasionally you just need to have, you know, somebody that's a phenomenal artist at the quarterback position. And that's what JJ's done so far, is he's been able to, you know, really do a great job of extracting, you know, more so out of the Michigan offense.
And then on top of that, they have one heck of a defense. And I think that might be, not that that's a surprise, everyone knew the defense was going to be good, but they have been playing at such a high level that this could be the most complete team we've seen.
Oh, it definitely is. It definitely is. And it's really going to be a fun year. This is definitely one of those years too, that I don't really know, you know, outside of Michigan, I don't really know who the best teams in the country are. I think a lot of teams have the ability to potentially make a run for the championship, and it's going to be really fun all the way down to the wire.
it definitely is. Well, Matt, thank you so much for joining me. Please let everybody know where they can find you.
Oh, yes. Thank you so much again, Tracy. I really appreciate it. So yes, we my father and I started Sims Complete, new podcast with Believe Network. You're going to hear father and son bicker about football and the game that we love so much. So we did a real deep dive on San Francisco, Dallas, actually this past week. We explained why the separation of the two teams has widened since the beginning of this rivalry being renewed. So if you want to kind of hear our take on it, I said a few of those points here today with you, but we really did a deep dive on it. It's great. And my father and I will be doing it every week, breaking down games that we love and things that we think are important in the NFL.
Fantastic. You guys, if you like what you heard, and I know you did, please make sure to give us a 5-star rating and a super positive review. You can follow me on Twitter at Tracy FGSN, on Instagram at Tracy Sandler. We are brought to you by Fevo. We are brought to you by Bet Online. And with that, I'll talk to everybody next time. Bye all.
Feel the pulse of the city. Feel the beat of the drum. Feel the bass blow your hair. In Las Vegas, live music delivers much more than sound. It's where music comes alive. With artists like Megan Thee Stallion, Maroon 5, Carrie Underwood, Shania Twain, Babyface, Lionel Richie, and many more. Every show is a playground for your senses. See the full summer lineup at visitlasvegas.com.
NetCredit is here to say yes, because you're more than a credit score. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partners. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
I won't let my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. In two clinical studies, Tremfya guselkumab, taken by injection, provided 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks in 7 out of 10 adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. In a study, nearly 7 out of 10 patients with 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks were still clearer at 5 years. At 1 year and thereafter, patients and healthcare providers knew that Tremfya was being used. This may have increased results. Results may vary.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. He's John LeFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
Give your home a beautiful makeover with flooring options from Menards. Update your room with flooring from Tarkett. From easy-to-install sheet vinyl, waterproof vinyl plank, to durable laminate flooring, Tarkett has the perfect style for you. Grovewood laminate flooring is stain, scratch, and dent resistant and designed with busy families in mind. Save big money on our wide variety of flooring options in-store or on Menards.com for more great deals now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.